her lecture class. I'm hoping to get some comments and feedback from y'all, especially because I don't consider myself to be an expert on discipline or anything here. We've all had, especially those of us that have been parents for a while, we all have different experiences when it comes to this topic and everything. Our kids are all different and everything there. So some things that I might see as the most important thing, somebody else may have been, well, that's about average, but here was what was important for in our case or whatever. Not going to look to get into a lot of specifics on certain things. I want to kind of keep it at a principle type level, if you will. Specifically, here's the opening caveat. This is not a how-to discipline class. I did not set it up this way. Not going to talk about, you know, all the different techniques to discipline or anything. Now, as we go through these passages and stuff, of course, we'll touch on some things. But as far as the focus of the class being, okay, here's when it's right to spank, here's when it's right to time out, here's where it's right to do something in between or whatever, not really wanting to get into different techniques or anything. What we're wanting to focus on is to better understand the purpose and the importance of discipline. Okay? If we understand that, then the rest will come to some extent. Okay? So when we're talking about this, let's look at, you know, I want to look first of all at a general concept regarding discipline. Okay? Because discipline is something that's important to all of us, whether we're talking about our kids or adults. And the better we understand that concept as adults, the better we can apply it to our children and in the way we discipline our children. So if we want to take a look at that general concept first, and then we'll look at some specific passages in the Bible that talk about discipline and see what we can learn from those passages. So any opening comments from any of y'all before we get into the meat of the lesson? Okay. Discipline is important to us all, as I mentioned a second. Why? First question for y'all. Why would discipline be important for all of us, whether or not we're talking about children or adults? Yeah, okay. So it can lead to sin. Anything else? I heard somebody else talking about. Right. Okay, it will lead to chaos. Any other thoughts on that? All those are correct. I just, a couple of principles here. Is that one, discipline is what's needed to teach us to adhere to a standard of life. And even if you're talking about people who have no regard at all for the Word of God or trying to be spiritual, they understand that principle. Because they're wanting to be successful in business. They're wanting to be successful in life. And they know you just can't go out and be totally without discipline in your life because it will lead to chaos or other bad things in your life. You have to be disciplined in your approach to where you will stick to something and either study enough to get the grades you need to get to that next level of college or that job that you're wanting or whatever the case may be. So this is a general principle that is true throughout life, but especially true when you're talking about applying it to our spiritual well-being. Yeah. Yeah, in a second we're going to take a look at a passage that will kind of help, I think, bring that point out that you're talking about. The second thing here provides correction in the way we should conduct ourselves with regard to that standard. Okay, and maybe that's really, when you're talking about discipline, as far as teaching you to adhere to a standard, that's where it comes into play. One, you know, we can be taught, hey, here's the standard to live by, but discipline is what's going to make those corrections along the way whenever we start straying from that standard. Whether we're talking about as adults or as children, as we're straying from that standard, the parents or whomever the case may be will take corrective action or should be taking corrective action to bring us back in line with that standard. Okay, so that's what discipline will teach us. And we see this when we look in the Bible, this principle that's talked about. Like I said, this is a principle that's understood by people, whether they're religious or not, but the Bible bears it out. First of all, over in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." If you have a New International Version, it says, "are the way to life." Okay? all these points that I have highlighted in blue, we'll talk about here in just a second. So, also, over in Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, very good passage along this as far as a general concept. "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Okay. A lot of good principles, good basic points regarding discipline found in these verses. And again, not just points that apply to fathers or mothers disciplining their children, but the way we all should approach discipline as the Lord will discipline us. Okay? It's important to us all. So here, continuation from the slide before. Let's look at these basic principles that we have in these two passages. First of all, in the Proverbs 6:23, talked about that the reproofs of discipline are the way of life or the way to life. How is it that the reproofs of discipline are the way to life or the way of life? What do you think is the meaning behind that proverb? Go ahead. And the interesting thing there is that when you talk about some of those verses and you see the application of them, it talks about whether he's a drunkard, he's whatever. It's like, isn't that not necessarily if he's only 5 years old? It's later on, too, when that would be enforced. So that's true. You have those issues there. But just in general, it's like, if we are wanting our children, if we see here's what it takes to achieve success, especially when we're talking about success and the way God looks at success in life, success in the afterlife, if you will. Discipline, the reproofs of discipline, are the way to that life. Okay, and we'll see that borne out in some passages we're going to look at a little later on. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So in disciplining our children, to make the application a little bit for that perspective, what we are doing there is providing discipline, providing the way to help our children achieve the kind of life that they need to achieve spiritual success. Okay, that's the discipline is the way to life. The corollary to that would be, or the flip side of that is that an undisciplined life, or not disciplining the way we should, is not the way to life, or is the way to death. Okay? And that will be borne out in some passages we're going to look at. So we need to keep that basic thought in mind. The next thing that we had there, in the first point that we had in the Hebrews passage, the Lord disciplines those he loves. What do we take away from that point? What's the basic thing there that we ought to see when we talk about the Lord disciplining those that he loves? How should that be reflected in the way we discipline, or why we would discipline? Who?
I heard you to thank your child, for example, mm-hmm.
Who are we going to discipline? Are we going to discipline, the people, the kids that we love, or the ones that we hate, or what? We should be doing it out of love. and everything here. Because, as we talked about in the first one, the reproofs of discipline are the way to life. If we love our kids and we're wanting them to be the kind of people, grow into be the kind of people that God wants them to be, then what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to discipline them in order to help them get to reach that goal. Bill first, then Bob. And one of the first passages we're going to look at, I forget if it's the first or second one, we're going to see a little bit of what you're talking about right there as far as the diligence that's reflected in that. Bob?
I remember back then, Teresa and I had probably been a Christian about a year, and we had our second child, and we were in a congregation at the time in Panama, and the oldest man in the congregation at that time, he was 50 years old, I remember he's too old, but I remember we were talking one day, and he said, "Bob, you want to discipline your children so other people will love them." Mm-hmm. And that really stuck. Because it is true. When they're young, your children are growing up. And oftentimes, the kids who aren't very loved will end up being adults who aren't very loved.
Right.
So that thought, you do want people to love yourself.
Yeah, and that, a lot of that gets back to that first point. There, it's where, you can take these in very broad terms when it talks about the reproof of discipline or the ways to life and everything. There's a very broad way of looking at it. We can look at it in specific aspects as far as our spirituality, but just in our everyday lives, we need that discipline. That's a principle that extends across everything that we do and in every form or avenue of our life. He has this interesting point here, this third one down, because you know he said that the Lord disciplines those he loved, and basically if you're not disciplined, we're illegitimate children if left without discipline. I just found that to be a very interesting statement. What does that say about a father or a mother who will not discipline their children? You know, if God, for whatever reason, decided not to discipline us, and we're therefore considered illegitimate children, what does that really say about that child who just will not be disciplined by their father or their mother? What kind of care, concern does that show on part of the parent? Is it kind of reflective of a lack of love or a lack of concern? You know, if you're considered to be an illegitimate child, you're not really that child. The concern and the love is just not there. So, to me, that was just a way of, you know, the Hebrew writer, the way that it was phrased there, to me, just kind of brought it home in a very, I don't know if you want to say graphic way, but in a very poignant way as to just how far it goes. If we're not willing to discipline our children, what we're really thinking of them, okay? That they're considered, that if God wasn't willing to discipline us, then we'd be considered illegitimate children. I think that same principle applies between us and our children. Okay. Next thing here, it talks about we're disciplined for our good so that we can share in His holiness. And I think that gets across in some of the same points we've been talking here and everything here. That's the principle that God has laid out and the reason that He's going to discipline us so that we can share in His holiness. Why we should discipline our children is so that hopefully they can share in the holiness that we hope to have with God as well as we hope they will have with God. Okay? And then finally, yields the fruit of righteousness by those that are trained by it. And this is something that we always have to keep in mind. This is something which is a day-to-day thing. The fruit may not show itself immediately. It's something that may show up many, 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 many years later with this. But if we're consistent and diligent with the discipline, then the fruits will be borne out. And that's what we'll see in some of these passages we're about to take a look at. Okay. Finishing up the point on just the purpose and importance of discipline, looking again at adults and children. When we think about adults, at least this is the way I look at it, discipline is applied in two ways. Does anybody want to take a shot at what those two ways might be? Nobody's going to fall for that one. Okay. Well, this is not real complicated, internal and external. Okay. Just the way I look at it. When you're talking about internally, just, you know, that's self-discipline. Us being able to discipline ourselves. Okay? That we will do what it takes to adhere to the standard that we believe is right to live. Again, as a general principle, that's true. You have people, when you look at people successful in business, for the most part, they're going to be people who are very self-disciplined individuals. Okay? They realize the importance of doing that. They may have other issues and stuff, but they understand, because their goal is to be successful in business, they understand the importance of self-discipline. How much more important would that be for us when we're talking about spiritual matters? Okay, we have to have that self-discipline. But there's also this external discipline that occurs. And by that, just simply other people disciplining us as needed. God is the first thing that comes to mind there as far as the discipline that can occur there. And He can do that in various ways. He may work through different means, whether you want to call them providential means or whatever the case may be, to bring about discipline. It may be through the church, because it's an action that may need to be taken. It may just be in individual Christians, our brothers and sisters, coming and talking to us and just saying, hey, something's not right here, and bringing it to our attention. And maybe not a formal form of discipline, but at least bringing some things to our attention to help correct us and to try to bring us back in line with the standard that God has for us. But we also have discipline that is shown from other external means, whether we're talking at work, the boss may do something. If we break the law, the judge is going to do something, and whatever other ways you look at. So adults can be disciplined in a number of ways. When you think about children in these two ways, how much self-discipline do children normally have? I don't know about yours, but mine, especially younger children, they don't have much. I just say it's in development. It's a work in progress. Okay? So, since they don't have the self-discipline developed yet, how much more important is it then for that external discipline, if you will? This self-discipline is going to be taught as a result of the external discipline. Okay? And that's where parents, especially, I have listed here, it's going to be taught the discipline. Parents are first and foremost. Okay? That's why it's important for us to do our job in disciplining our children. Okay? They're going to get discipline from other places, maybe at schools or if they're in athletics from coaches and some other things there. But if it's not provided at home, the schools and coaches and all these other places can only do so much. It has to come from the parents first, especially if you're talking about from a spiritual perspective and trying to teach them what needs to be done and the kind of standard that they need to live to in order to achieve heaven when they die. Okay, how much more important is that? Okay, and when we're talking these things here, as far as what we're trying to teach them, we're teaching them the recognition and adherence to a standard, like we talked before, teaching them the concept of authority, just that how important that is, and then also teaching the value of discipline in achieving goals. Okay, and especially our spiritual goals. That's the thing that's kind of, I think, something that we can lose sight of occasionally. Is that we're not just teaching them, okay, here's what's right, here's what's wrong, you got to live to it, but teaching the importance of discipline in our kids and instilling that in them so that as they grow older, they realize not only the importance of the self-discipline they need in order to adhere to that standard, adhere to God's Word, but also the importance of sharing that with others and teaching that same discipline to their kids later on in life. That's true, and that's actually one thing we're going to bring out later on, and everything there. But that's a very, very true statement. Okay, After this, we're going to get into some specific passages and everything. Any thoughts or points that anybody would like to bring out regarding just the general concept of discipline here? Hopefully what we've been able to do here in the first 20 minutes or so of this class is just to at least help everyone see, okay, the importance of discipline and how it applies in general to all of us there, and how that should be able to apply the concepts that we need to teach our kids, and why it's important to our kids. But any... Okay. With that, let's go to the first passage here. You're going to see a lot of passages from Proverbs when we're talking discipline. Okay? First passage here. Whoever spares the rod hates the son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Okay? When I read this passage, there's a couple of things that come out to me. What do we learn from this verse? Like I just mentioned, there's at least a couple of things here that pop out at me. Anybody want to take a shot at what those two things may be? Just when you read this. When you look at the first half of that, what's that kind of saying? If you spare the rod or if you refuse to discipline in general, what does that say about us in relationship to our children? Right. Okay. So, it's an act of love. Discipline shot. We're going to hate our children if we don't discipline them. Okay. It's pretty simple. If we refuse to discipline our children, we don't love them the way we should. Okay? Now, you're going to see this phrase a lot, and we might as well just touch on it right now. Here, because in some shape, form, or fashion, we're going to have something here talking about the rod in most of these passages, or many of these passages. Why do you think the writers in these cases, or in the Holy Spirit through these writers, brings up to, you know, he who spares the rod, or things along that line here, but always bringing up the kind of the extreme, if you will, of the rod? Why do they never talk about he who refuses a time out to his children?
Uh-huh. So they're giving us the drastic, because the point of it is when they grow up and they become criminals and so forth. There was many, many years ago, I forgot what state I was in, that a woman was arrested because she was disciplining a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so she made a comment that says, don't blame me when my child, you know, grows up and knocks you in the head and robs you.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? And that's true. And I think that we'll see the importance of that borne out. I think one of the things, though, is how easy is it to give a timeout? Relatively speaking. Okay, go sit in the corner for a little while here and be quiet. Is that a really tough thing for a parent to do? Now, for some parents, it may actually be, but overall, is that a tough thing to do? How tough is it for a parent to really bring down the hammer when that needs to be done? How tough is it to spank a child or to bring some real discipline, for lack of a better way of putting it, to try to correct the action? That can be tough. Okay? I think that may be the reason why he keeps talking in this, if you want to call it an extreme pressure, or bringing up the extremes, because the point that the writers are trying to get across in these passages and others is you've got to do what it takes as parents to provide the discipline that is necessary. Okay? It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to make the tough choices. You're going to have to do the tough things. And if you spare the rod, if you refuse to do those tough things that are needed, then, in this case, you're hating your son. You're hating your daughter. You need to do the tough things. Make the tough choices and do and be the parent and do what's necessary. Okay? I think that's part of the point that he's getting across here. Yeah.
I never did understand a thing until I had kids. You know, Dad would always say, this is going to hurt me more than you. You know?
Kids never believe that. Yeah. That's exactly it. I mean, we're going to touch on a couple of things later on about, okay, kind of the balance that's there, you know. You don't have to knock a child, you know, with a rod every time or anything. There's balance there. But, yeah, if that's what's called for, we have to be strong enough to do what's necessary because, not because we're trying to be mean, but because we love. Okay, and that's one of the, if we can remember that in all the discipline we do, that's half the battle right there. Okay, we should be disciplining out of love for that child. Okay, so there was two points that at least caught my eye. There may be more here, but the next thing, we'll just go ahead and go here. At the latter part of it, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline. We must be diligent to discipline. This gets back to what Bill was talking about earlier with the analogy between the painter or the sculptor or whatever. They can do a really quick job and it'll turn out only so-so. But if they're willing to take the time and to be that meticulous and to go back and redo what needs to be and everything, then you get that masterpiece. Well, the same is true. And I'd never heard that analogy before, but that's a very good analogy and everything. But that's exactly what the case is here. When we're talking about disciplining our children and everything, we have to be disciplined. We have to be disciplined in the way we're going to discipline our children. I didn't. But we have to be diligent and consistent in that. Okay? Or else, you know, if we want that masterpiece, then we're going to have to be very meticulous and diligent in doing it. If we're not, then we'll get what we get. Okay? But I think those are two things here that we can see out of this verse. You know, always do it out of love. We're doing it because we love them, but be diligent, be consistent in it. Okay? Any other thoughts? Did anybody else see anything else out of that verse? Okay. A couple of verses here. Kind of share the same thought. Okay? Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. If you strike him with a rod, you will save him from his soul from Sheol. Okay. What do we learn from these verses? When you look at that first verse, okay? Anybody see anything out of that first verse that is kind of poignant? Exactly. And everything here. You know, we're going to discipline for their hope. There's hope in discipline. Okay? That's where the hope is and everything. If we don't discipline, then we're kind of losing hope. We're putting the kid in a hopeless situation. I wish I would have thought of that when I was putting this slide together. But the failure to discipline is going to lead to that child's demise. You know, if we discipline for there's hope, do not set your heart on putting him to death. Man, you know, that's a strong statement. If we don't discipline, we're setting our heart on putting our child to death. Think about that for a second. Okay? And I think that can be true whether you're talking about from a purely physical nature as well as a spiritual nature. When you look at the physical demise, that physical death that can occur, it kind of gets to what you were talking about, IBA, a few minutes ago there. You know, you can, that lack of discipline there, that can lead to a lot of consequences here in this life alone. Okay? Something as simple as just not being a profitable member of society, but also could be physical death. If they're that undisciplined, what can that lead to? And some of us may know people along that line or know of situations that fell along that line. But more importantly, what about the spiritual demise of our kids? That we're setting our heart on putting them to death spiritually. Failure to be faithful to God, which would lead to spiritual death. Okay. When we're talking about discipline, this is not something just to take casually. We have to realize the ramifications of doing it or the ramifications of not doing it. Okay, here. If we refuse to discipline, That's what the proverb says about us. That's what it says about what the course we're setting our kids on. And we need to think about that. But when you look at the next passage there, you will save our soul. The discipline will save our child's soul. Okay? Provides hope. That discipline provides hope, as the first passage talked about. The second passage, it will save our child's soul from Sheol. So we kind of got a choice when you look at these two passages. We can either decide not to discipline, and if we do that, we're condemning them to what? Death. Or we can choose to discipline, and then we can save their soul. Okay? It's our choice, though. As parents, it's our choice. Okay? That's something that when it gets that when, so when it's getting that tough time, the kid's really acting up, and not so much just acting up, but has really done something wrong. Okay, that they know is wrong, that's against the rules of the house, and they're challenging the authority, and you know that I've got to do something. If you choose not to do something, keep this verse in mind, and the precedent that's being set. If you choose to do something, remember this verse and realize that the fruit that can be borne out later. Okay? Any thoughts? Yes, ma'am.
So what I'm also hearing is that discipline is also a protection.
Yeah.
Protecting yourself too, because as an adult, you have experienced things or you've heard things, you've seen either the news or what other parents are going through. And so discipline is also a protection, not only for physical care, but also spiritual.
That's a good way to put it. That's a very good way to put it. It's you may not have heard sitting in the back that IDA was saying that discipline is a protection for our kids. And that's a true statement. I think that is something that's borne out here. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the next one. Maybe. There we go. Okay, passage that's very familiar probably to most of us here. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old. He will not depart from it. Now, first thing I want to talk about here, what's the relationship between training and discipline? Because this doesn't say discipline your child. It says train your child. But what's the relationship between training and discipline?
Training is repetitive.
Okay.
That's what I do in my career field, you know, mm-hmm. You go out and train, and it's repetitive. You know, you do it, like take for instance first aid. You keep on going over first aid, mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen? I don't know exactly the thing, but you know, to talk about a military situation and everything here, and let's go back to like a boot camp type thing here for a second. Okay, doing a lot of training there, and as soon as that recruit steps out of line, what's that drill sergeant doing?
He disciplines
a part of training.
Right.
Okay, everything you're gonna in training. To me, there's and I don't have a exact thing. I'll get to you in just a second. Wait. To me, though, when you're looking at training, you have two basic parts. Instruction, where you're doing the teaching and everything. Here's the way you should be doing this. Here's the right way to do things. And then you have the discipline when people either stray from the right way or refuse to do the right way to bring them back to that path. Yeah, Wade? Oh yeah, no, it's not just doing that. Because what you try to do is you're trying to correct that behavior, and to bring back. Here's the way you should be acting. Yeah, I mean, this. Yeah. Hopefully that's what we've been saying. Hopefully that's what we've been saying through here, and everything here. It's one thing just to go out and whip a child because hey, you embarrassed me in a restaurant. That's not the purpose. The purpose of discipline is to try to teach that child, here's what the right way is, and there's a punish. There is a consequence for not doing the right thing, but trying to teach them what that right thing is and to reinforce that and everything there. And like I say, it's a correction of character. And we're going to see a verse here in a second that will bring that out a little bit more. Everything here. So, any other points? Well, let's see here. Talk about here. Opponent. So, what do we learn from this verse? God's principles are ingrained in a child. They will not depart from them. It relates to the diligence that we need to have. Now, with all things here, you know, when we're talking about this verse or any other verse here, we're talking about a proverb. Is a proverb an absolute? Unfortunately, no. Okay. But it's a general principle that, hey, if you do this, most of the time that's the way it's going to work. And life proves that out. You know, I love it. You know, when people know this verse pretty well, and they'll say, well, I know of this case where a kid, he was raised right and everything, he didn't. Well, he was kind of the exception. But the rule is, if you train up a child the way he should go, he won't depart from it. Same is true if you do the flip side. I can point, and I know of situations where kids that weren't trained up in the way they should go, yet later on in life, because of their hearts, were soft enough and tender enough, when they heard the truth, they came to the Lord. Well, just because they weren't trained up in the way of the child, were they eternally condemned? No. But as a rule, if you have kids who are not brought up and trained in the way they should go, what's going to be the norm in the way they what happens to them? They're not going to adhere to the way God wants. Okay? It's the rule. Okay? So, let's keep those things in mind. Let's see here. Folly, this is the verse, you know, gets, I think, to part of what Wade was just talking about a second ago. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. And some of us may either have kids or have known of kids who are like, yep, they had a lot of folly that needed to be driven from them. Or something there. But when we're looking here at the purpose of the rod of discipline, what does this verse tell us? Anybody want to take a stab at that? Whoops. Well,
like what you were talking about with the self-discipline and the extra discipline. Kids start out without self-discipline, the folly, and by providing them the example and the discipline, hopefully you can build that up with them.
Yeah, I think that's right. Because, you know, they think what's important and everything, and they know they need to understand what's really important. So, yeah. I think that's part of it there. You know, training that child in the proper way they have here, and to drive that foolishness that impedes the proper thinking and behavior. Okay? So, that's the purpose of this rod of discipline. Everything here. But I do want to throw in one thing. I don't want to get into a lot of techniques or anything here, but I think that there is a good point to be made here, because when we hear these terms here about the rod of discipline, and we're going to drive it. Whenever I read this verse, for whatever reason, you know, I've heard it said before here. It's like, well, I'm going to beat that out of you. Type of thing. It may have been said to me once or twice for all I know. And that may be necessary. Okay? But at the same time, there is a balance here. The purpose of this passage and other passages like it is not to try to condone abuse or mistreatment of a child. As we've said before, this discipline that we're doing and to make those hard decisions and do what's necessary should be done out of love. Okay? Not out of abuse or mistreatment or anything. So that's a balance. It needs to be. And the way I phrase here, understand that degree of folly, understand that degree of foolishness, and act appropriately. Okay? Just kind of keep that in mind, too. It's easy when we're disciplined, especially if the child has really made us mad, to act out of emotion or frustration or something. Sometimes that's when it's a good time to stop and count to 10. And just, okay, is this really the right thing? We can react quickly, and we may overdo it. But if it turns out that that's indeed what needs to be done, by all means do it. Yeah, that can be true. So, yeah, that's true. Okay. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Discipline provides wisdom. Okay, and this kind of gets what Kevin was just saying a second ago here when we were talking about some of the things we talked earlier on, what discipline, what Wade was talking about as well. When we're looking for discipline here, What are we really trying to do? We're trying to teach wisdom. What is wisdom? Is wisdom just knowledge? Yeah, it's the application of knowledge. And how you use that knowledge. It's the proper understanding of knowledge and how to use it and everything in our lives to achieve what that knowledge was intended for. In this case, what we're talking about here is that spiritual wisdom. How do we use what we know about God's Word in order to achieve what it was intended for? Okay, discipline will provide that wisdom and everything here. So, not just to correct bad behavior, but to try to enforce good behavior and to teach that good behavior so that they can be profitable servants of God eventually. But also, here he talks about that being a lack of discipline bringing shame to his mother. How does that happen? Let's think about that for a second. If we, in a way there, if we choose not to discipline our children, we're just not only are we condemning them to death, as we saw earlier, but we're just setting them down a path that's going to bring shame back on us. Okay, whether it's because of they end up in jail or just not being the kind of people they be, but it's going to be a reflection on the parents to bring shame on the parents to some degree. So here, Bob, then. Yeah.
If you don't train, somebody else is.
Yeah.
There will be a vacant there, and somebody else will do that.
That's true. Exactly right. Everything. Yep. No.
Something I remember about when they were disciplining me was that they were either going to teach me or someone else was going to teach me. You know, I was either going to learn from them or I was going to learn from my friends in the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So it was important to them.
Yeah. Exactly right. Good point. Good point. Okay. I'm going to go to the New Testament for a couple of passages here real quickly. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And then a corollary passage over in Colossians. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3:21. Again, this doesn't specifically talk about discipline, but how might we provoke our children to anger or discourage them? That's one way. Yes?
Arbitrary conduct. At least if we analogize human fathers, at least honoring and provide the same guidance to his child as heavenly father. He is never arbitrary. He is always faithful and true to his nature, and that's why we have confidence in his love and confidence in the promises he gives, confidence in the teaching he gives.
Mm-hmm. Any other hands or anything, other points? Oh, those are all good points, everything here. I had a couple of things here. One, in addition, y'all brought some good points there. I talked about kind of an overreaction and everything here. You know, sometimes, you know, let's discipline according to the nature of the act. Not everything's a capital offense type of thing. But one thing that I thought of here was And this, Bob, you mentioned this earlier. If we're not living to the standard that we set for them, okay? I know that I would be kind of discouraged as a child if my parents kept telling me to do one thing but went in a totally opposite direction all the time. So we don't need to be hypocrites. And I think this is important. If we're human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to tell our children, you need to do this, and then we're going to turn around at times and not live up to our own standards. Instead of trying to make excuses about it, let's just be upfront about it and tell them, hey, I didn't live up to the standard. Acknowledge it, and if necessary, if it was bad enough to where we need to apologize, then let's apologize when we fail. Let's just, and that right there can teach them more than maybe a lot of other things we can do, because we're setting the kind of example on when we do fail, how do we, what are the steps to take in overcoming that? Okay? So let's be upfront and just be that example of discipline that we need to be. Okay? There's probably other things, like I said, y'all brought out some good points on that, but let's, this is the last slide here, and then we'll wrap it up. I'm going to finish up with a passage that we had at the beginning there in Hebrews chapter 12. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline, when you're talking about truly disciplining our children, is not pleasant, but it is necessary. Okay? And hopefully the passages that we have looked at tonight help us to see why it's necessary. Okay? But what it will do is provide the harvest of righteousness and peace, a fruitful harvest. Okay? So think of it that way. When we're talking about discipline, we're cultivating that garden. Cultivating the garden of our kids as far as the fruits that they will produce later on. The degree to which we discipline our kids is going to be directly relational to how successful they're going to be in terms of being the kind of people God wants them to be. Okay? And when we took at all the different key points that we talked about, first and foremost, discipline out of love. Be diligent in our discipline. The goal is teaching them the importance of God's standard and getting them to heaven. Okay? Discipline teaches our wisdom to our children, and don't provoke our anger or discouragement in our children. Any closing thoughts or points that y'all would like to bring out on this? Okay. Well, I appreciate all the comments that we had. A lot of good comments tonight. Let's go ahead and take a break here, and we should begin services here in about 10 minutes.